Once there was a wealthy merchant in Japan. He had spent all of his life building his fortune. He had traveled all over, buying things, selling things, until he was a very wealthy man. But one day he looked around and discovered that he was getting old, and he had never taken the time to get married or have a family. He had no one to pass his great wealth on to. And so he took to him an apprentice, a young man, who had a very, very special gift. This young man had a beautiful voice, and he could talk anybody into anything. The merchant saw immediately that he would be a very, very, very good merchant. And so this young man began traveling the land with the merchant. And the two of them went far and wide and became actually quite famous in Japan for their great skills at being able to sell, and also their great skill at having an eye for value. Well, there came a year when the merchant, was so old, he decided he did not want to travel anymore. And the young merchant said, "Well, then very well, we will travel home. I will leave you there, and I will continue our journeys." The old merchant said, "Well, yes, you should do that, but do not make the mistake that I made. Do not travel so long and work so hard that you never have a family." And the young merchant said, "Well, I will remember that. I promise I will have a family." And so they began to travel. Now, it was the very beginning of winter, and it was cold, but not bitterly so. And they hoped that they could perhaps beat the snows home, but they were not to be that lucky. The snows came early, and though they were not deep, it was pretty cold. And they got to a place where there was a ferry boat crossing, and it was late, and the ferryman had already gone to the other side of the river, and it did not look like he was going to be coming back. "Hang the flag out," the old man said. "Perhaps he'll see it and come and collect us. If he doesn't, then we will stay in the ferryman's shack for the night, and in the morning we will be able to go across." And so the young man hung out the signal to let the ferryman know he needed a passage across. And they went into the ferryman's shack, and it was not very good. The roof was sound, because people often waited in there when it was raining for the ferryman to come and collect them. But other than that, it wasn't very dry in there. There were cracks in the walls, and it wasn't terribly warm. It wasn't something that you were supposed to spend the night in. But they had no choice, and at least it was out of the worst of the wind. And so the young man settled his master in the blankets and wrapped him tight and warm against the cold. And then he wrapped himself up, and the two of them fell asleep. Deep in the night, the young man's eyes opened slowly, and he realized he was freezing. He looked up. There was thick snow swirling across the floor, and his fingers were so cold he couldn't feel them, nor his toes. He began to be worried about his master, so much older than him, laying just a ways away. But he couldn't move. He was so cold. He tried to move his mouth. His lips felt as if they had been frozen together. He tried to work his shoulders just a bit. It was so painful. And then he heard a sound. It was like the wind, only it sounded like music. And there was something enchanting and enticing about it. And he looked up, and there, entering the room, was a woman. She looked to be tall, until he looked down and realized her feet weren't touching the floor. And her face was beautiful, except it was completely blue, like ice. Her hair was long, and though it moved like hair, it too was blue like ice. Her gown was long and shimmering with snow, and he realized he could see through her. She drifted over to where the old master was laying on the floor, and she reached out, and the young man struggled, trying to say something. But he watched as her hand caressed the old face. Pah! A burst of air came out of the old man's mouth, and she collected it up as if it were solid and placed it into the folds of her gown. And then she turned and began to advance on the young man. Painfully, he opened his lips, and he began to speak. He could never recall what he said, but he spoke. He even managed to sing a little bit. and the ice woman stopped and looked at him, looked down at him, but didn't come any closer. The more he spoke, the warmer his lips got, and then his face and color came back into it. And then he began to feel his neck warm up, and his shoulders, and his back, and eventually his hands, and eventually he could wiggle his toes. All the while, he kept talking and talking and talking, and the ice woman, she just floated there, looking at him, watching him, doing nothing. He spoke and spoke and spoke until a shaft of sunlight broke over the window and into the room. And when she saw it, she turned to him and said, "Your voice has saved your life tonight. But I promise you, if ever you speak of what has befallen you, I will come for you, be it the middle of summer. Promise you will not speak of it. Swear it." The young man would have sworn anything at that moment, but this was an easy thing to swear. "I promise I will not speak of it," he said. "I promise, I swear I won't." Well, she began to float towards the door. And then she was gone. At that very moment, he heard the crunching of snow, and the ferryman opened the door. And there was the old man, frozen to death, and the young man, half dead on the floor, for he had fainted dead away at the sight of the woman leaving. The ferryman collected up the young man, and they got the old man as well, and they put him into the ferry, and they went across the river. The young man, when he was quite recovered, paid money to have the old man's body shipped home. But he, for sadness and fear, did not wish to go home, and the burial ceremony was held without him. But he inherited all of the old man's wealth, and he traveled alone. With his brilliant, beautiful voice, he became even richer than the old man could ever dream, and for 5 years he did nothing but travel. But one day, as he was going down a road right near some rice paddies, he heard someone singing, and he stopped and looked, and there, amongst all the women working in the fields, one looked up at him and smiled. And she was so beautiful, his heart melted. Money had been all he had sought, but now he sought something else: the love of this woman, whoever she was. He made note of what she was wearing, went to the nearest village and asked about her, and found that she was an orphan who had come to live there and work there some years prior. He went to the man who implored her and asked if he could request her hand in marriage. And when the day's work was done and she returned to the village, her master brought her forth, and the young merchant, asked if he could marry her. After a suitable time of courtship, she went with him, and they built for themselves a huge house. And the young man had other merchants he hired to scurry about Japan, and he stayed home with his wife. And they had themselves many children, and for many, many years they were happy, watching their children grow up, and some of them go off and get married, and some of them join their father's business. And one night, the wife sat weaving, and the merchant, who had become a very respectable man, looked over and saw her weaving. Her head was tilted in just such a way, and the sound of the loom. And then he heard the wind whistling outside the home, and he laughed to himself. He said, "You know, this reminds me of something." She said, "What?" He said, "Something that happened a long time ago. I hadn't thought of it in a long time. I put it behind me, but now that I'm sitting here, I think of it." And she said, "Well, husband, if you put it from your mind, surely it wasn't important. You needn't tell me." "Oh, but I want to tell you. It was very interesting." He said, "You see, a long time ago, back when I was apprenticed, I had a master, an older master. That's who I inherited my great wealth from, my first bit of great wealth. The rest, of course, we've made ourselves. But he was the one who taught me to be a merchant. And there was a night," his wife stopped him. She said, Husband, I do not need to rehash the past. Let us let it be." He said, "I'm trying to tell you a story. Listen." And she grew silent. And he told her of the woman coming into the room. He told her of his master's death, He told her of how he spent all night speaking to the woman. He was so caught up in the story, sitting there by the fire warming his hands, he did not realize that something was changing in his house. The temperature was dropping. It was becoming colder and colder and colder. And when he finally finished his tale by saying, "She left me alive and then she left," a voice spoke to him from the loom. "I also remember you promising never to tell anyone." He turned. His wife was gone, and in her place was the ice woman. He fell to his knees. He said, "What is wrong here? What is happening?" She said, "The bond we shared together has been broken. For my part, I spared your life. For your part, you promised never to tell. And the bond we made was strong enough that for the first time ever, I was able to become human. And the bond we shared was enough to bring us together in marriage. And the bond we shared was enough to bring us children. But you have broken it." She went towards him. He was weeping because he realized he had lost the most important thing in his life. Not his life itself, not his money. His wife. He said, "Very well, then take me. Take me. I deserve it. I have broken the promise." She said, "No, I will not. We have two children yet at home, and you must raise them. But I swear to you, the second they have no more need of you, I will come for you." And he said, "Then I will be waiting." And she blew out the door. He never told his children what befell their mother, and they were saddened not to know. And the years passed, and finally his youngest child, a girl, celebrated her wedding to a good man. All that night, he seemed happy, he smiled, he hugged all of his children over and over again. They didn't know why, they didn't know what he was planning, but they were worried about it. The next morning, they found him dead. But his death, though sad, was much more strange and mysterious. For instance, when he was found, his arms were in a circle, as if he was embracing someone or something. And his face was smiling and contented. He was frozen solid in the middle of summer, and he was standing straight up. Your vows are important. Do not break them, or you will lose the most precious things in your life. And that is the story of the Ice Woman.